Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
With a decline in the vibrancy of nightlife in Irish towns and cities, the struggles for smaller venues and for promoters is a growing conversation. Ireland has the earliest closing times in Europe, and the proposed reforms from government have yet to be implemented. So we're going to hear now about the challenges that those smaller venues face around the country. I'm joined on the line by Mark Deary, who's owner of the Spirit Store venue in Dundalk, Edel Curtin, founder of Live Venue Collective and owner of Coughlin's venue in Cork City, and DJ and promoter Arveen Juthan, who has worked extensively in the nighttime industry, both in Ireland and in the UK. And you're all welcome. Edel, I want to start with you just to outline the pressures you're seeing overall in your business, in your own business, and in the wider community.
Hi there. It's becoming more and more of a struggle every day, really, because I suppose cost of living is a huge thing. It's obviously gone up massively over the last year or so, especially since the pandemic, and we see that people aren't going out as much as what they used to just because they literally can't afford to. We are in a situation as well where we receive zero funding from the government, so everything that we do has to wash its own face, and if people aren't coming out and spending money, then it's impossible for us to run our business. Mm-hmm. The model of the small music venue works where a certain percentage of what we do is funded by what we sell in the bar. So the ticket sales that we sell, like, that does not cover the costs of these shows. So if people aren't spending as much and they decide that they're going to buy a ticket to go to a show, but when they come into the venue, they're not going to spend anything else, there's nothing to subsidise that shortfall in revenue. So I suppose one of the biggest things for us is we were promised during the pandemic from the Department of Culture and Catherine Martin that there would be a pot there for small grassroots venues to continue, because we had engaged with them during the pandemic to show how difficult it was for us as small businesses to continue doing what we were doing, and we were always promised that we would be supported afterwards, that there wouldn't be a cliff edge after the pandemic, but we have yet to see that.
Okay, and you say you need that in order to keep going. And Arveen, I know your experience is that you've had to change what you're doing. You're doing weddings now, is that right?
Well, no, you know, in Connolly's we have specifically kind of started to take on weddings because, you know, it's restrictively expensive to kind of run a small venue in Ireland right now. You know, when you start looking at stuff from exemption orders, ticket sales, I mean, Connolly's as a venue has to operate in many different spheres, you know, and weddings is one of them there that we've been looking at. So that's something that we're going to offer in a limited scale, but also it's a restaurant, it's also a pub, it's a nightclub, and it's a live music venue. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we have to really diversify in order to, like, keep the wolves from the door.
Yeah, Connolly's of Leap, we should say, and you're in a fairly rural area, but what you need it to be, I suppose, is a destination venue that people would be travelling to you to see what you have on offer, right?
That's right, yeah. I mean, we've had to put on quite a large-scale offering, and it's expensive. It's not cheap, and we don't always make money out of it, and you know, I think Connolly's also offers a unique cultural experience within the area, within the greater area, because you've got to travel an hour to Cork, or you've got to travel to, you know, another hour to Kerry to find a nightclub that offers the music that we offer, you know, the calibre of DJs that we bring in, but also the live music offer. It's part of the cultural identity of the surrounding area, you know, and for us, if we didn't exist, but it'd be a massive gaping hole culturally in that surrounding mm-hmm. area.
So, Mark, can I bring you in here at the Spirit Store venue in Dundalk? How have you had to adapt your business model, or have you, in order to stay competitive?
We have had to change because people's going out habits are much more event-led. So relying on a bar, which we have downstairs, would be a road to stagnation. So, by putting on events of all sorts, we are continuing to operate and attract punters to our place, which isn't on the main drag in Dundalk. It's about a kilometre from the town centre down in the harbour. So we really have to keep putting ourselves in front of the people and giving them an offer that that they want to buy into. Mm-hmm. So to give you an idea what that means, yeah. we work with all sorts of collaborators. In June now, we'll be working with the Louth Contemporary Music Society on their annual weekend of classical contemporary music. We do the occasional wedding. We do bring in DJs, although they are not a core part of our business. We offer ourselves as a a business meeting place for daytime events, which there's a slow uptake on that, but it is part of our offer. But the core business really is putting live bands, and comedy has grown massively as part of our offering and is extremely successful. Our room just seems to work for comedians, and we manage to attract names that you wouldn't associate with a venue that only holds 200 people.
And what do you think it is, Mark, that has changed, that has put this pressure on where you now have to find these other revenue streams?
Yeah, I often say that you'd need to be a poet to catch exactly what has changed since the pandemic when it comes to people's social interactions. But something has, and I don't have the words quite to describe it. I can express it to you in terms of their habits, and it is that they are going out for much more precise reasons than just to go out and have the crack. There has to be a more of a purpose to it.
Okay.
So we've added. So we recently took in a fantastic local food company, A91, who are now doing food, and people, without us wrapping it up in a package, people are now coming to eat and then go to the gig, and that seems to be a night that people really are enjoying and are prepared to pay for.
Okay, so yeah. People want a specific offering. Adele, is that your experience as well?
Yeah, definitely. I think a lot of what Mark said there resonates with us as well, that we are slightly outside the city centre, and people, it has to be in people's minds before they go out that they're going to come over to us, and it is because they're generally going to an event. Again, like, we tried to diversify as well, which I suppose we would have always been seen as a folk venue, and we've tried to kind of change that a little bit because there's a huge young demographic that, you know, needs support and a venue to come and play in. There's lots of great upcoming bands in the city, like I Dream, I Dream, The Love Buzz. They're brilliant bands, and we're actually one of the only places left for them to play because it has become a situation where it's just become so cost prohibitive that there isn't actually venues opening anymore or for these bands to come and play. So it's a bit of a worrying future for live venues, yeah, unless something is done.
So it seems to be difficult, Arvind, to pinpoint exactly what has changed to result in this situation. I mean, are you able to tell us what it is that has altered so radically?
In my opinion as well, I think it's the cost of in terms of running a small venue. Like, it's really difficult for a small venue to charge less than €20 for a ticket just to operate well, especially for comedies, because, you know, the amount of staff that we bring in, the cost of running the venue, security, you know, booking acts, bringing talent in, just all the costs that go into promoting an event and putting a gig on, you know, drives the ticket price up. And there's really, I mean, the VAT rate we pay, should small venues get a reduced VAT rate, you know, under a certain size, to help stimulate, you know, them being able to charge a lesser price, which would enable more people to maybe afford it. And €20 is not a lot of money, you know, in today's world, especially if you're living in a rural area where there's a limited amount of access to, mm-hmm, you know, events or nighttime economy.
Yeah, it's just, I suppose, if you factor in, you know, if you have to pay for babysitters, you're buying a few drinks, yeah, maybe a meal, and then it's €20 on top of that, it does all start to look like an expensive night out, and that's maybe what people are thinking. Adele, can I talk to you about what, yeah, was supposed to happen, or what is happening, we're told, and the Minister for Justice is in favour of extending opening hours, and she has said nightlife here doesn't compare favourably to other European countries. But then you have the Fine Gael TD, Michael Ring, who says we should get rid of this daft idea of opening pubs all night. Do you think that those opening hour reforms, Adele, are going to happen?
I hope they do happen, because I do think that there is definitely a percentage of people that do want a later night opening. Like, for me personally, in our venue, and not to the venues in the Live Venue Collective, this is not going to have a huge impact for us. That's not to say that there are other venues that obviously do need this, but for me, what I'm wondering is this kind of a distraction to what's actually going on and the needs that, what needs to actually change within our industry? I mean, for example, if this does come in and bars are allowed to be open at 6 o'clock in the morning, we don't have an infrastructure around that yet for that to actually be possible. It's very possible to change licensing laws, but there aren't enough Gardaí on the streets. There are no taxi drivers to bring people home. There's the extra cost that you have to have security, you have to have live bands playing, you have to have DJs playing. And for this is going to be a social experiment for what, if this comes in, is there going to be support and funding for people to actually try and see, does this work? Mm-hmm. And the infrastructure around this is nowhere near ready for to that, in my opinion.
Okay, Mark, what's your view on it? I mean, do you need it to happen, and will it make a difference to your business?
Yeah, I think Adele put her finger on it there. She took a whole of nighttime economy approach to in answering your last question. We do need people to be able to get home at the end of a night at an affordable price and not be gouged, which can still happen. It doesn't happen much, but I still hear about it the odd time. This idea that because all of us operate on the basis that we pay for the gig with the ticket money and make our money off the drink, but that immediately means that the ticket price attracts VAT, whereas if you don't serve alcohol at a show and some larger occasional venues do that, they don't attract that. I'd love to see that change so that we can do our gigs, sell a drink and not have the ticket price penalised on top of that. That would be a big assist. Mm-hmm. And the excise, the excise on alcohol in Ireland is out of whack with European norms. It may be seen as a public health measure, but it certainly doesn't. And there's merit in that argument. I don't deny it. But there is a real cost to pay at our end of that.
Okay, but Alcohol Action Ireland, I mean, quite apart from the VAT question, I mean, they're concerned about public health consequences of extending opening hours for pubs
and clubs. But we're very specific. We're very specifically focused on bringing people out for events and giving a context for drink that doesn't encourage the kind of problems that are being highlighted. You know, we're not into doing happy hours or sending people outside in a state that they're not able to look after themselves. That's not the vibe. It doesn't help anybody in our particular subset of the nighttime economy.
But still, Adele, you know, and you're all saying this, that you need to sell products, and in this case it's going to be alcohol, in order to make the night viable for you.
Well, I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be alcohol. There is, I mean, yes, that is, of course, our main source of revenue, especially in our business. We don't do food. That is our main source of revenue. And we've seen a shift as well where younger people are far more health conscious. They're far more into the gym, which is, I mean, that's a positive thing. They're very conscious about their mental health. And we're trying to look at, like, what are the offerings that we can give in non-alcoholic beverages. But this is exactly the point that, like, if we're told that we shouldn't be pushing the alcohol sales, but we're still the only people really supporting upcoming artists, who's going to pay for the difference? Like, it can't be every which way. We're the ones that are supporting upcoming musicians. We're the ones that are trying to support all the people that love going to little gigs. But the thing that funds that is alcohol.
All right. Well, listen, we'll leave it there. Thank you all for talking to us. Mark Deary from the Spirit Store venue Dundalk, Adele Curtin, Coughlin's in Cork, and Arbeen Juthan, who is a DJ and also works with Connolly's of Leap in County Cork. Coming up next, Adam Maguire is going to explain why your takeaway is going up in price.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.